Parshas Behar. This parsha begins with a very special mitzvah. It is the mitzvah of Shemitah. Shemitah means that once in 7 years, a farmer who lives in Eretz Yisrael does not do any work at all on any of his fields. That means it's like a Shabbos year. Just like once in 7 days, all the Yidden rest and they don't do any malacha, any work at all. The same thing, once in 7 years, it is a mitzvah to let alone all the work of the fields. Not to touch the fields, not by plowing, not putting in seeds, not doing any kind of work. And the same thing is also with the vineyards, where the grapes grow. No work at all shall be done during the entire seventh year. It's a year that is completely given over to Hashem. Shabbos la Hashem. And just like on Shabbos, all those who work during the week have more time to learn Torah and to daven on Shabbos. The same thing is during the Shemitah year, the seventh year, all the farmers in Eretz Yisrael can spend so much more time learning Torah. And as our Chachamim tell us, that just like on Shabbos, he who does not work on Shabbos and keeps it holy, and spending the day with Limud HaTorah, studying the Holy Torah, and doing the other mitzvahs of Shabbos, he will be blessed with many, many brachas for the entire week. Even though it means that he has to stop working one day of the week, so he may think that he's going to get less money for his family, but the truth is, just the opposite. By not working on Shabbos, Hashem will give a special bracha that during the 6 days of your work, you will be blessed with so many more brachas, with so much more parnasa. And the most important thing is that the parnasa, the money that's made during the 6 days of the week, will be used only for happy and healthy causes. And the same thing is with the Shemitah year. Even though the farmers are so used to it that every year they plant, they sow, they take care of the vineyards, they do so much work, and later they see their delicious fruits and vegetables growing out, and all the good wheat and grains that come from their field, and then they stack everything away and keep it for the entire year. Yet, when it comes the seventh year, a farmer is not worried at all. A farmer knows that just like Hashem gave him his parnasa for the 6 years, gave him all the fruits and vegetables and grains that he needs for himself and his family, for the entire 6 years, the same thing Hashem will surely give him what he needs for the seventh year too. In fact, this is what the Torah tells us, that Hashem promises every Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael and is going to keep the year of Shemitah the way Hashem wants, then v'tzivisi es birchasi lachem. Hashem said, I will give my bracha for you bashana hashishis, during the sixth year. That's right. During the sixth year, which is the last year of working, right before the Shabbos year, Hashem is going to make the fruits and vegetables grow out in such a great measure, so much more than any other year, so that every farmer will have enough fruits and vegetables and grains and everything he needs, not only for the sixth year, it would last for the seventh year too. That's right. He'll have enough food for the entire seventh year so that he should not have to work on his field. And even more than that, Hashem promised that on the sixth year, not only will it have enough food for the seventh year, but also for the eighth year. That's right. Because once the farmer starts working on his field, after the seventh year, he's going to have to wait a few months until everything starts growing out again. So what's about those couple of months in the eighth year? So Hashem promised that not only will he have enough fruits and vegetables and grains from the sixth year to last through the seventh year, but also all the way through the eighth year too. All the way until he will get new grain and new fruits and vegetables. So here a Yid sees how Hashem is the one who controls the world and is the one who decides how much food and how much parnasa a person gets. That's right. By strengthening our bitachin, our trust in Hashem, and by showing it, by keeping the mitzvahs that Hashem gave us, especially the mitzvah of Shemitah, in this sechus, Hashem blesses us that we shouldn't lose out anything at all. In fact, not only will we not lose out, but as Hashem promises us that even if you eat less food during the seventh year, you're going to feel so satisfied as if you have eaten much more. And then, a very important thing is that by keeping the mitzvah of Shemitah, the Yidden will be able to keep the land Eretz Yisrael. That's right. In order that the Yidden should be able to remain in Eretz Yisrael, they must keep the mitzvah of Shemitah. Now, during the year of Shemitah, as we just learned, no one is allowed to work on their fields. And not only that, the owner of the field is supposed to realize that he's really not the owner. Hashem is the owner of the entire land, just like Hashem is the owner of the entire creation. So therefore, all the things that are in the field become free for all. That's right, anyone can come into the field. The farmer must leave the gates open. He should not lock up the doors or the gates, so anyone and everyone is invited to come and have whatever they want. Also, animals can come and serve themselves. And do you know who else can come? That's right, the farmer himself. He can come just like any stranger. He could bring home any amount that he needs just for that day. For all the meals of that day, he could take. But he can't take any more, because he is not the owner of this field any longer. That's right. The farmer is not the owner of this field anymore. On the eighth year, then he becomes the owner once again. But there is one thing that the farmer is allowed to do during the seventh year. He's allowed to put water on certain plants. That is in order to save the plants from dying. But he's not allowed to do anything else. No work at all. Now, what's about the sfichim? Sfichim are vegetables or grass that grow by themselves. They grow wild. Is anyone allowed to take from those sfichim? Is a farmer allowed to go out and take some of it for himself? And the answer is no. Why? Because during the Shemitah year, there might be a farmer who would want to trick everybody, and he'll plant some vegetables, and he'll say, I didn't plant it, it grew out by itself, now I'm going to go take these vegetables. That's why the farmer is not allowed to take for himself any of the vegetables or grass that grew wild by itself. Now, all the fruits and vegetables which grew in the Shemitah year have a special Kedusha in itself. And therefore, the Halacha tells us that we have to treat these fruits and vegetables just like we would treat anything which has Kedusha, which is holy. And therefore, no part of the fruits or vegetables may be thrown away just like you throw away garbage. Instead, if there is any leftovers of the fruits or vegetables, even the peels, they should be placed out in a field and dry until they get rotten, because we cannot throw it in the garbage. Also, because the fruits and vegetables of the Shemitah year are so holy, they are not allowed to be sold, as you usually sell other fruits and vegetables. And I want you to know that all of these mitzvahs and all the dinim of Shemitah are not only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but also in our times too. And our Chachamim tell us that of the many reasons why Hashem gave us this mitzvah of Shemitah, a very important reason is in order that the Yidden should realize that the land belongs to Hashem. That's right. It's not the farmer's, even though he worked on it for 6 years. Rather, it is Hashem's, because the whole land of Eretz Yisrael belongs to Hashem. Also, this reminds a Yid that he always has to have bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem should give him his needs. During the 6 years, the farmer might think that he's getting all of his food because he's working so hard on his fields, on his orchards, on his vineyards. He's doing all the work, and that's why he's getting all the food. That's why Hashem makes that on the 7th year, when he can't do any work at all, and he sees that Hashem gives him all of the food that he needs, he realizes that also in those 6 years, it is not he, but rather Hashem, who gives them his needs. Yes, as our Chachamim teach us, that no matter how hard a person may work, he will not make 1 cent more than what Hashem wants him to make. If a person wants to get the full measure that Hashem set aside for him, he should make sure that he's doing his work according to the laws of the Torah. That's right, that his work does not disturb him from doing the mitzvahs. He davens with a minyan, he keeps Shabbos in the best way, he makes sure that he should have everything kosher, even during the time when he's at work. He only eats things which are 100% kosher, and so on and so forth. He realizes that all that he has to do is make a keli, a vessel, in which Hashem is going to put his blessing. That's right. A person cannot just sit back and say, Hashem will give me my parnasa. Of course, a person has to go to work, but he has to do only the amount of work that's necessary, and that is in a way that it will not disturb him from Torah and mitzvahs. And then Hashem will give him an abundance of parnasa. He'll give him so much parnasa that he'll only have enough for himself, for his family, and most of all, to be able to share it with others. That's right, to give tzedakah, as the mitzvah is to give miser, to give a tenth of all the money that you earn, to give it away for tzedakah. As a matter of fact, our Chachamim tell us that let's say a person earns $10. How much of the $10 does he have to give to tzedakah? Well, at least a tenth, miser, which is $1. So a person should realize that since Hashem wants him to give one-tenth to tzedakah, that means Hashem does not want him to keep that money for himself. Hashem wants him to give it away. In other words, when Hashem gave him the $10, Hashem only really gave him 9, and then added one more dollar as shlichus mitzvah, that he should take this one more dollar and give it to tzedakah. And the same thing is if a person earns $100. So Hashem really is giving him only 90, And the other 10, Hashem wants him to be the shliach, the good messenger from Hashem, to give that $10 to tzedakah. And the same thing is, with any amount that a person earns, the person should realize that only 9 parts of it belongs to him, and the 10th part is really Hashem's. And he's not allowed to take it for himself. Hashem wants to give him the schus, give him the mitzvah of giving that part to tzedakah. And Hashem promises us that if we give that 10th to tzedakah, then Hashem is going to give us back 10 times as much. And all the parts that you have for yourself will be truly for yourself. It will be used for good and healthy and happy things. Now there is another din about the Shemitah year, that all loans are forgiven. Let's say, for example, Reuven borrows $100 from Shimon. Well, of course, Reuven is going to pay him back. But let's say Reuven didn't have a chance to pay him back, and it came the Shemitah year. Then the Torah says that Reuven does not have to pay Shimon the money anymore. We're going to learn much more about this mitzvah in Yirtzeh Hashem in Chumash Devarim in Parshas Re'eh. And now we come to the very special mitzvah of Yovel. Yovel is the 50th year. After counting 7 times 7 years, that means 7 times Shemitah, that's 49 years, then the 50th year is Yovel. What happens on Yovel? Well, a few things. First of all, on the Yovel year, all the farmers have to continue not working on their field. That's right. Even though they just finished the 7th Shemitah, and it's the 49th year, and you can imagine how difficult it is for a farmer not to work on his field for an entire year. He just can't wait to get back into his field. But if this is a Shemitah that comes right before the 50th year, then he is not allowed to work on the field during the 50th year either. In other words, he's going to be skipping 2 years in a row of work on his field. The 49th year, which is the 7th Shemitah, and the 50th year. But what is he going to have for food? Well, in that case, Hashem promised that Hashem is going to give enough food and the 6th year, not only for the 7th, but also for the 8th and the 9th. That means not only will he have enough food for the 6th and the 7th, which is the Shemitah, and the 8th, which is Yovel, but also for the 9th year, that in the 9th year, until new fruits and vegetables and wheat grow, he will have enough food left over from the 6th year. And another thing that happens on the Yovel year is that all Jewish servants must be freed. It is on the day of Yom Kippur, of each Yovel, that the Beis Din would blow a shofar. And after they would blow the shofar, all the Jews all over Eretz Yisrael will also blow the shofar. And this is to remind all masters who have servants that are Yidden, that the time for freeing them has come. Anyone who had a Jewish servant must send him back home. That's right. No matter how much time the servant worked for him, even if he just bought the servant 1 year before Yovel, he has to set him free and let him go home because Yovel came. And the reason for this is because a Jew cannot become a servant of another person forever. Hashem said, "When I took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, they became my servants. And therefore, a Jew cannot become a servant for another Jew forever." And this is also the meaning, what we say in Shemayna Esrei, Tika b'shoifar gadol l'cheiruseinu. Blow the big shofar to announce our cheirus, our freedom. We are begging Hashem that He should finally blow the big shofar of Geula, so we should be freed from galus and come back to our home, Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Torah tells us of another din about the Yovel year. That is, that any field that was sold to another Yid will go back to its original owner. Let's say, for example, Reuven had a beautiful field, but he became very poor, and he decided to sell it to Shimon. Shimon was very happy with the deal, and gave money to Reuven. But later, when the Yovel year comes, the field goes back to Reuven. That's right. He doesn't even have to pay for it. He gets it back for free. Well, why should Shimon pay so much money for it then, if it's going to go back by Yovel? That's why the Torah says that whoever wants to buy a field from his friend should figure out how many years are left to the Yovel. If there are many years, then he should pay more money. If there are very few years left, or maybe just 1 year left, then he should pay much less money. Because whatever the case would be, when Yovel comes, the field is going to go back to the first owner. So that means that even if Shimon sold the field to Levi, and later Levi to Yehuda, and Yehuda to Yisachar, and so on, when Yovel comes, who's going to get the field back again? That's right, Reuven. In fact, the Torah tells us that Hashem does not want a Yid to sell his field in a way that it should stay for keeps and forever by the one who bought it. Hashem says, the land is mine, and you have no right to sell it, that it should stay forever in other people's hands. Hashem gave every Yid his share in Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem wants it to stay that way. True, Hashem allows you to sell it for a short time. Well, then it's just like renting it. You're renting it to someone, and when the time is up, and that is Yovel, it comes back to you. Now, the Torah tells us that only by a field will it go back to its original owner by Yovel. But sometimes a person who sold his house may never get it back again. Sometimes he will, and sometimes he won't. And it depends where is his house. Now we all know that when Yehoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael and brought all the Yidden into the land, they found many, many different kinds of cities. Some of the cities had walls around them, and some of the cities did not. Now let's say I had a house in one of those cities that had a wall during the time when Yehoshua conquered the land. Then the house that I sold will come back to me at the Yovel year. But what if I had a house in a city that did not have a wall in the times of Yehoshua? Then the house will not be returned to me at the Yovel year. That's right. If I sold it to someone, it's going to stay by him forever. The only thing is that from the day that I sold it, I have exactly 1 year to buy it back. If during the first year after I sold it, I bought it back, I'm lucky. Then the person has to give it back to me. Of course, I have to pay him the money for it. But what if the year is over? Then it stays by the new owner's hands forever. He could sell it, of course, to me, but he doesn't have to, and I have no right to get it back from him. But there is an exception to this rule. What if a Levi sold his house, which was in one of the 48 cities that belonged to the Levium? Then the Levium could always get back their house by Yovel. And it did not make a difference whether it was a city that had a wall in the time of Yahushua or it didn't have a wall in the time of Yahushua. The Levi will always get his house back on the Yovel year. And now the Torah tells us about the mitzvah concerning a na'as mamain, that we're not allowed to cheat another yid when you're buying or selling. We just talked about a person buying a field or a person selling a field. Well, you have to be very honest with the person. Let's say there are only a few years left to Yovel, so make sure that the price fits the amount of years. It shouldn't be too much or too less. You must act honestly. And this is not only when you're talking about a field and about Yovel, but any kind of business at all, or even trading things, which is something which happens once in a while. Let's say you come to yeshiva and you have a beautiful pencil. It's such a nice, beautiful pencil. Everyone who sees it gets excited and would like to have it. Let's say a friend of yours comes over to you, says, "Ooh, I'll pay you $5 for that pencil. Can you sell it to me?" And you only pay 20 cents for it. But this friend of yours is so excited and so anxious to get it, and you see the $5 bill in his hand, the Yetzirah might say, "Sure, sell it to him for $5. Why not? You'll get $5. You'll be able to buy some good things for yourself." The Torah says, no, you're not allowed to cheat someone. If he doesn't realize his mistake, that he's ready to pay $5 for a pencil which he can get for only 20 cents, don't take advantage of him. Be honest with him. If you want to sell it to him for the decent price. If you don't want to sell it to him, don't. But don't take $5 from him. And the same thing is also in the opposite way. Let's say that you saw a little boy with a beautiful watch, and you want to get that watch for yourself, and you say to the boy, "Here, I'll give you $1 for it. Do you want to sell it to me for $1? And the boy doesn't realize that if he sells it for $1, he's getting too little money for it. The watch is worth much, much more. But the little boy just doesn't realize it. So if you're going to buy it from him for only $1, you're cheating him. And that's what the Torah tells us about. The Torah warns us that whenever you make any kind of deals, selling or buying, you must do it honestly. Then the Torah also tells us that any dealings that you do, buying or selling, if you have a choice between doing the business with a yid or lahavdil a goy, it's better to do your business with a yid who keeps the Torah and mitzvahs. Unless you'll get a much better deal by doing the business with a goy, then you don't have to go to the yid first. You're allowed to go to the goy. But if they're both equal, it's better to do your business with a yid. And of course, to do it honestly.